The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The queen of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
Coming at you on a Tuesday evening, episode 340 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan Drosty, Jesse Velasquez, and apparently this is a Minnesota T-Wolves podcast. If you're seeing Justin Joint right now here on the podcast feed, he is all decked out on his Wolves gear. Justin, yeah. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Wolves are up, so I think at least for the first portion of the podcast, me and Jesse might be a little distracted. So go Wolves.
Jesse?
You've been to probably more games than I have in the last 5 years, and I was a season ticket holder in like the mid-2010s as well. I got to get one. Yes, I was.
Wow.
Like the early stages of Rubio. So actually, it would have been 2010.
Nice.
I got to get this one out of the way, though. So, folks, if you are looking to watch a movie instead of pro wrestling, well, if you're too busy chasing people, blithering about goosebumps and levels and storytelling in cinema, go watch a fucking movie.
Is this the
Tony Storm?
Oh, yeah. This criticism of AEW and that they don't tell enough stories, you're just not paying attention. They're telling plenty of stories. I mean, bad faith actors.
Real quick, before we get away from Minnesota sports, I have a question for Jesse. Who do you think is more beloved in Minnesota, Justin Jefferson or Anthony Edwards?
Oh, boy. Right now, at this exact moment, I would go Justin Jefferson. That can change in about 3 weeks.
I kind of figured just because of how much more popular football is than basketball. I assume Minnesota is a football state. Well, hockey, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All of the above. With the text thread that we have, I mean, JJ and Anthony Edwards are pretty much on an even playing field. I mean, I have like half of that text thread are Vikings season ticket holders. One guy's a T-Wolves season ticket holder. Yeah, I'd say Jefferson's about maybe a slight step above, but Edwards, seriously, could probably pass him in the next month.
Oh, absolutely. Depending on what they do in the playoffs here. I mean, he is so, even if you're not a Wolves fan, I don't know how you could not love Anthony Edwards.
I mean, obviously this team is not anywhere near what the Wolves are right now, but I, as you guys know, I married into a Minnesota family, and I've always been told that Minneapolis is a Twins town first and foremost, that they're the most popular team in the city. Is that accurate?
I would say in the 90s.
I mean, just in general, that's what I mean. Kind of like they say Chicago is a Bears town, first and foremost of all the teams. I've always been told Minnesota's a Twins town, first and foremost, but they're not very good this year. Obviously, there's plenty of time to go.
Yeah, they're the last male professional sports team to win a world championship. It's a Vikings town. I think it's been this way since the late 90s.
Now, I don't want to bash your Vikings, but the Vikings had... Remember when those businesses had to buy up all the tickets or they're going to black out a playoff game? How can you call it a Vikings town if we couldn't sell out the Metrodome for a playoff game? That was in the 2000s.
Was that really? I was going to say that was more that was like so. I thought that was 97.
Oh, no. I was like out of college when that happened.
Okay, so that must have been the Philadelphia Eagles game in the wild card the year before they went to the NFC Championship game.
Yes, that sounds right. I think it was 08. Pretty sure 08.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is correct, because 09 was that magical season, which the text thread that I just referred to, two of those guys went to New Orleans. That was their 1998.
Oh my God. Now I was pulling hard for the Vikings in that game. I mean, that was something else. My God. Well, Justin, I like the gear. That's pretty awesome. Especially since, you know, the Celtics are your number one team. You've gone all in on your number two there. I like it. Very nice.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I got Celtics are my number one, but I got my two side pieces in the Wolves and the Pelicans.
Very nice. All right, guys. Well, hey, I am fresh home from St. Louis and attended AEW Dynasty. We're going to talk about it tonight. I know it's been a couple of days. We're not going to do your match by match. Everybody's done that by now, but some highlights of the live experience and why. I mean, if you're looking at the thumbnail, potentially on YouTube right now, why this may have been the match of the decade already that we saw between Will Ospreay and Brian Danielson. We're going to get into all of it. Let us know your thoughts in the chat room as we go, what you thought of AEW Dynasty. Yes, Justin.
Hold on. Wait, we're covering Dynasty because all my prep was on the Matt Hardy TNA debut.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Raw.
Thought that's what we were going to cover.
No.
Damn. I thought it was Becky Lynch's world title win.
That's what I was thinking. Last night.
I didn't even know she won. Hadn't even looked at the results.
Guys, you are seeing the names scrolling across the bottom of the feed right now. Thank you to our wonderful patrons who make all of our bonus shows and this podcast possible. We really appreciate you. And if you want to become a patron, check out the link in the broadcast description. It's patreon.com/toprope nation, the number one way to support what we are doing tonight. Boys, before we get into Dynasty, what's in the glass? Let me throw it to Jesse first. Now, I know you were engaging in some margaritas, so maybe you don't have anything in the glass. What do you got?
I was truly hoping Justin was going to go first because I think... Are you drinking what you were last pod?
No.
Oh, beer. Okay. Never mind then. I don't have to sing. Okay. I did have two margaritas, so I had a second one. And then I got to add a little Hendrix action.
Nice.
Yeah. It's just one of those days.
I was trying to give your local spot a shout out on social media. If you didn't see, I put your story up on the podcast Instagram account as well. I had to screenshot it, but I got it up there. I wanted to give Boca Chica their props for those delicious margaritas up in St. Paul.
See you this weekend? Question mark.
Possibly. We'll see. I'll let you know the plans here after we get off the air, but it's in the works. Possibly, maybe not. We'll see. There's some weather issues coming on, but we'll see. Justin, what is in the glass for you?
One of my absolute favorite beers from Lions Bridge Brewing. Figured, you know, Ospreay wears green a lot. And obviously Danielson is the American Dragon. So I cracked open a New Zealand Pilsner by the name of Green Dragon.
Mm. Oh, that's perfect. I like it.
Yeah.
Green Dragon.
Oh, I one other. Go ahead. Go ahead. Nope. You first.
I don't have anything super special. It was just calling my name. Always a delicious one. Just going south from Lion Bridge in Cedar Rapids, Justin, Iowa City for a little Big Grove Brewery Easy Eddie IPA. Oh,
love Easy Eddie. That's a refrigerator staple around the joint household. Got to have some Easy Eddie on hand.
Indeed. All right, what do you got, Justin?
Oh, I was just going to say, kind of a newer development in the parenting department of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Something I absolutely love. And I know it'll change, but I'm just holding on to it because it's one of my favorite things. My boy, Kit, who is six, his new thing is when we are out in public, he has to announce to everybody around us whenever he farts. And I think that's pretty spectacular.
Is he going to be in a courtroom in Manhattan anytime soon?
Hope not.
You guys have been following Fartgate. Just throwing that out there.
I didn't realize this. We have an equal amount of boy-girl ratio amongst our children. Three boys with Justin and myself, and three girls in the upper left-hand corner with our host.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfectly balanced. And that's, you know, perfectly balanced podcast as well. We love to give our takes. We're fair. We're honest. I think we're not like those dolts over on twitter.com that are voting D or F for AEW Dynasty. Come on. What are you doing? And so then responding weird to my tweet saying, oh, you, you guys making fun of us giving this a D or an F. You're what's wrong with wrestling. Yeah, right. We're making fun of you being dumb. I'm sorry. This was not a D or an F show.
Absolutely zero chance that numbskull even watched the pay-per-view.
No chance at all. Even if you were the most anti-AEW, if you even like pro wrestling, how could you not get lost in that show for 4 hours? I mean, just the in-ring action was unbelievable. An all-timer of a match between Ospreay and Danielson, a world title change with one of the most over people on the roster, the first African-American world champion in AEW. You got a ladder match. For God's sakes, you got Chris Jericho, if that's your thing. there was something for everyone on this card. Now, Jesse, what was your opinion on the show? Because you watched it a little bit differently, watching it from home. What did you think? What would you grade it?
I had to rewatch the last two matches yesterday because I was so enthralled with, of course, the Danielson Ospreay match. Am I being biased by giving it a flat A?
No.
Because I mean, the lowest grade possible I would give it is an A minus. Because if you're looking at it top to bottom, 1 to 9, there was only one match that I didn't really like. And even with the Julia Hart Willow match was 6 minutes short, hard hitting, but we'll get into the Tony Storm match later. I thought that was one of her better performances in a while. I mean, you look at the match of the year contender list, you had that one, and you had about four super sneaky ones that you could throw as a match of the night on a cable television product or even different light.
Or on almost any other pay-per-view. I think there was matches that could have stolen the show.
But then again, when you have Bryan Danielson and Will, by God, Ospreay headlining in terms of an in-ring perspective matchup, good luck trying to top that. Like I said, 5.25 was the floor 3 weeks ago, and they exceeded that. Spoiler.
I'm calling it. It's going to be 8 stars in the Observer. 8 stars, I'm telling you. It was, I mean, by my own criteria and what I say on the pod when we do these grades, B is something I watch more than once. A, got to have a match of the year contender. Well, by God, I think we had a match of the year contender on the show. So it is definitely an A show. No question about it to me. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, being there live, experiencing that. I've seen Ospreay before in person, but I don't think, pretty sure the last time I saw him was in 2018 at the Mercury Rising WWN Super Show.
Yeah, and I was there with you, and it just as well had been a completely different wrestler that we saw in 2018. I mean, he was so much smaller. His ring work was way more aerial based and more fly high-ing. And just like he was kind of just born for gifts at that time. Whereas now he's just so much more of a complete wrestler.
Total package. And even just with the presentation, I mean, we've talked about it before. His theme song is maybe the best in wrestling. And when that came on in the arena, just the energy in the arena. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay Swerve's popularity, and we're going to get to that too. I'm so glad he got the world title. That was definitely the right choice. Top Swerve Nation. We said it many times on here. There's no question Ospreay's the most over guy in the company. It is not even a question at this point. I mean, he surpassed Swerve. He is by far the most over guy in the company. The ovation he had coming out, even after Danielson, who had a really good ovation too. It was unbelievable, man. I mean, you guys that watched it on TV, as that match started, the chant, I mean, the place, it's not a super big arena. I think they had about 7,000 or a little less in there. It's like a mid-major size college basketball arena, but it was mostly sold out. There was a section up in the corner that I think they had just recently put on sale and opened up that wasn't totally full, but everything else was. And I mean, that place, that was about as loud as I've ever heard an arena before. I've been in bigger arenas. I've been to WrestleMania in a stadium, in an arena. That place was so loud when that match was getting underway. And I've watched it back now on TV too. And like the smiles on Brian's face, like he couldn't contain his excitement as it started. And it was just, I was so hyped. Justin, you know, I did the goosebumps thing, rubbing my forearm like The Rock did. Yes, like, geez. Go ahead, Justin.
One of my biggest takeaways from this show is how much it reminded me of All Out 23, where, you know, I think going into that show, everybody was kind of down, you know, Punk was out by that point, right? I think that he had officially been given the boot and
the night before.
And we're going to this show that basically had 1 week's build. If that, you know, Punk's out of the company. There was just a bit of melancholy in the air, but then you watch that show and being in the arena, one of my all time favorite crowd experiences of all time. I mean, the crowd lifted that show to another level. You had people in the crowd trying to start CM Punk chants, shut down immediately.
Yeah.
Now this time we're kind of in a, it felt like a weird time for AEW with all the, once again, the Punk stuff and just the television and until the go home show felt kind of off. And that crowd in St. Louis, it reminded me of that All Out crowd. They just, they took that show to a completely other level. They were on from start to finish, invested in every single match. Although after Ospreay Danielson, it took a little bit into the ladder match before, you know, we got our energy back. But goddamn, there's just nothing like a hot crowd. And that's something, like, I know WWE has hot crowds, especially when they get overseas, your WrestleManias, stuff like that. But I implore anybody who has any kind of negative attitude towards AEW to go to a pay-per-view. To get to your closest pay-per-view show, because it's the best thing in professional wrestling, in my opinion, are these AEW pay-per-views. And this one was no different.
Yeah, it's just a totally different type of energy. Even with the WWE crowds that are hot, unless you're maybe overseas, it's just a totally different experience. I agree. We've been lucky here in the Midwest that we've had a lot of pay-per-views within driving distance, and we get to go to All Out every single year, and we had full gear up in the cities, and now this one here too. And I've been to TV too. I've been to a Dynamite in Chicago. Not the same. The pay-per-views are just unreal. I mean, you leave there on such a high. I got back to the hotel room in St. Louis. Parking was a bit of a disaster afterwards, getting out of the parking garage. But by the time we got to the hotel and I took my oldest daughter, I mean, she never wavered. I was a little worried that she was going to get tired at this show because they go so late. She's not exactly a night owl. She was wide awake and got back. The hotel room was like midnight. She's wide awake. She's like, I don't want to go to bed. And it's just like the adrenaline, honestly, from that show. It was like, how could you? And you're exactly right. The FTR match with the Bucks, that was the only one where it kind of died down. And you could totally tell it was just like emotionally, everyone was so worn down. The injury angle they did with Brian, you know, people are kind of wondering about that. That was my only major gripe with the show. I would not have put that match after Brian and Ospreay. I probably would have put the Jericho match there, to be honest with you. But I mean, outside of that, it was a near perfect show. It was so good live. It may have been the best one I've gone to out of all of them. I mean, I've been to, I can't even remember at this point, Revolution 2020, Revolution 2020, Full Gear 21, All Out 21. All Out 21 card wise was not as good as this one, but it had like the energy, Punk's return, the big debuts at the end. That was just a massive show.
It felt like a sea change.
Yeah. Double or Nothing 22, All Out 22, All Out 23.
Full Gear 23 too. Or excuse me, 21. I don't know if you mentioned that one.
Yep.
And also,
I think this might have been the best one I've gone to.
This was the fifth AEW world title change that you have witnessed in person.
Isn't that unreal? Because I think there's only been like 11 or 12.
I don't even know, like, about half many of them.
Nine or 10, I believe. I've seen four. So yeah, you just passed me.
Which is crazy, because it's not like they changed the world title that many times. You know, there was a couple of them because of like the interim stuff with Punk and then the Mox, and they flipped it back and forth. It's right around 10. But like, so roughly half I've seen in person, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, it was, I think this was the best show top to bottom I have been to.
Did Jesse, watching on the TV, I'm curious, because I brought up, you know, people at that All Out 23 shutting down the CM Punk chants. Did you hear any of this? Because a couple times they tried to start the CM Punk chants and they were shut down immediately.
I heard zero of that. Okay. Good. At all. And by the way, Ryan, I probably saw your daughter in the aisle about 15 times.
Well, she had this guy in front of her that was really tall. He was holding up signs all the time. And to his credit, he did turn around to her at the very beginning and say, "Let me know if I'm blocking your view and I'll get the hell out of the way." But nice, luckily she was on the aisle, so she could just like take a state. She could see everything all night. She had a great view. And yeah, man, she had it. A blast. I got so many videos of her just like dancing to the entrances. She loved it when Mercedes came out and she was doing like the things she does with her hands. And man, when you can take your kids, when they get old enough to take your kids to wrestling, like Justin saw, I mean, it's so much fun.
Take headphones though. Sound blockers.
True.
Those fireworks are loud in there.
I mean, we were right near the entranceway. So yeah, it was very loud, but yeah, St. Louis, it was a great venue. I mean, It's on this university campus. It is very nice. It was already, you can tell it's a little warmer down there than Iowa and Minnesota. And it has been longer. It was everything was green. It looked like prime summertime. Very well manicured landscaping as you're like walking up to the venue. Venue was pretty nice inside too. We had like these seats that were very well padded, like almost like the big money tickets or something. They had like the logo of the college team on the back. And
cup holders were shit.
Yeah, that's true. The first time I heard the CM Punk chants was out on the concourse right when we got there.
Yes, I was
Justin
worried.
Yelled at him. Justin was like, "Nerds" or something like that. I can't remember what he said.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, we saw some friends of ours like Jay right away down there. I mean, we did the other stuff outside of wrestling. Pappy's Barbecue in St. Louis is a must. If you have never been there and you get to St. Louis, go to Pappy's Barbecue. Shout out. Best barbecue I have ever had. And that says something because one of our hosts here is quite the guy when it comes to ribs. But man, these are some great ribs. We got a chance to have that. We went to Union Station. Great week. Anything you want to shout out, Justin?
Just that I was, you know, because famously amongst us, you know, your daughter has always said that I make the best ribs, even though, you know, she's had ribs in Memphis and stuff. So, yes. You know, waiting in line to go to Pappy's, I was not really giving her shit, but I was like, "So you think these are going to be better than mine?" You know, really digging in on that. And I got my ribs first, took one bite, and I was like, "Oh, these are way better than mine." And then it's not soon after she had a bite. She's like, "Yeah, they really are." Damn.
Love kids and their brutal honesty.
Right.
But that said, Justin makes unbelievable ribs, Jesse. So I hope he can make it down for Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
I have that penciled in. Should be good to go.
So what do you guys think on this question? I mean, it's in the match of the year. Dave Meltzer, Alvarez, they were throwing it out there. Best match in U.S. history already. I mean, I think you got to take some time to step back to make a statement like that. But in the moment, that's what they were saying. I put it on the thumbnail here on YouTube because it'll get people talking and everything and tuning in. But match of the decade, I mean, hard to believe it that we're almost halfway through the 2020s already. And I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of 2029, if we're doing, the best of the 2020s, this is going to be right up there. I mean, how do you top this? An all-time great like Bryan Danielson, Will Ospreay on the rise to becoming the face of the company, you know, a true dream match. These guys working their first match together. It's not like WWE where they would put guys, you know, in there at different times in their career and they'd run through at the house shows. You know, like we just, I talked with Frank recently about WrestleMania 10 and Shawn and Razor, and that was such a transformative match for the time. But they ran through that multiple times at the house shows before Mania 10. And these guys haven't been in the ring together at all. And they get in there and they have that crowd and they put on that match with some of the most mind-blowing spots I have ever seen in person and pulled it off so safely as well. And then still got you to bite on the injury angle at the end. It was just a masterclass in professional wrestling. Everything you could want out of a pro wrestling match. Jesse, how do you think this one's going to rank all time?
I am going to tell everybody and shock them as well. I have not rewatched this yet.
Oh, wow.
Normally, I know that's my thing. I have 7 paragraphs of notes on the match, though, if you'd really like me to go blow for blow, which I won't. What's nuts to me was that 5 minutes in and minimal had been done, you guys were chanting fight forever.
Right?
I was in an absolute state of shock. Styles make fights. Styles make wrestling matches. I've said that how many times? And I've watched Sabre and Ospreay wrestle, Zack Sabre, that is, probably 3-4 times. And this Danielson, in my eyes, is just a step above Zack Sabre. And then some. I could not believe some of the stuff that they were doing. I gasped maybe 8 or 9 times at home on my couch. My son was asleep. I was actually under the impression, by the way, that this was going to open the show, because when they, with the first minute, they teased it was going to open, and I just went, oh my God, my kid's going to watch this. He's not going to remember this, but I'm going to have to tell him this might be a legendary thing you're going to see. Yeah, I mean, the psychology even, I know people give a lot of shit to Will Ospreay for not being a great seller, and I understand that, but he sold his neck extremely well throughout this match, his back as well. I mean,
the elbow that Danielson went after.
My thoughts exactly there too, Justin. You nailed that portion. And look at that last minute, and I'm not even going to include the Storm Driver 93, but when those guys went into their respective corners, charging up it, and I know a lot of people were making the correlations to their favorite anime, because anime and wrestling seem to be a thing with a lot of people out there. Mm-hmm. They just sat there for 10, 15 seconds, just powering up. Everybody was eating it up. It was like, who's going to win this stalemate? And it almost looked like the poster that had came out a couple of days prior, if you saw that, with Ospreay charging with the elbow, mm-hmm. Danielson leading with the knee. Ospreay just barely caught him, hit the Storm Driver 93, looked super clean at home. On the replay, it looked super clean. Danielson sold it like his shoulder was completely removed from his body. And Ospreay just said, F this, I'm still going to go for the hidden blade elbow, while Bryce Remsburg's trying to get an official or some people to look at it on the outside. Again, I'm not going to go blow for blow the rest of the way. It was just absolute insanity.
And I mean, for those of you watching at home, because we didn't know this in the arena, but the fact that, you know, that they showed that replay kind of killed the fact that this could have been a real injury, right? Because you could see how clean it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a perfect view of it where we were sitting, and I could see that he tucked perfectly, and they landed exactly right. And I mean, also there was the fact that, he never would have signed off on doing that final hidden blade if he was actually hurt, you know, but Brian's selling was so good that people bought it. I, for a second, was definitely wondering. And then, cause you know, we know Brian's injury history and everything. And then when they didn't do anything with the Callis family, because I thought, like, in the moment, I thought, all right, they're going to play this up. Like, the other Callis family guys are going to come down. They're going to try to attack Brian while he's down, and then Will's going to fight him off, and that's going to be his turn. But they didn't do that. And then they kept it going. When you guys got the hype video for the next match, Will stayed out there with him, and then he eventually, like, helped him to the back. I don't know if they filmed that for social media or anything, because it was dark in the arena. But then it was like, okay, so Brian's like walking with his arm around Will, so clearly he's not injured. They would have put him on a stretcher, you know. But I thought overall, like, the selling was so good. I mean, half that arena was really wondering. Everyone was talking about it. And that was another factor. And it was hard to get into that ladder match right afterwards, because nobody really knew what was going on. Not just because, you know, obviously we saw a great match, but yeah, the injury angle seemed so real, so realistic. It was masterful. So well done.
The counters were absolutely absurd. Like, it felt like they had wrestled maybe 4 or 5 times prior and knew each other. And like you had said earlier in the beginning, Ryan, yeah, they hadn't. Yeah. And again, being a almost lifelong Will Ospreay fan, I can say 2017 was when I really started to dive into it. The maturation process, it's absolutely incredible. He went from a boy in New Japan to he is a full-blown man and knows exactly what he's doing top to bottom. in the ring. He was born to wrestle.
Justin and I were talking about when we had seen him in New Orleans the last time at that Mercury Rising Super Show. We, after the show, you know, he was at an autograph table down on the ground. We walked like right past him. And our first inclination was we couldn't believe how small he was, just like in height. And he wasn't as built as he is now. Now he that wouldn't matter because he's a super, you know, he's built and he looks big in that way. But at the time, we're like, man, he's not that big. But now, I mean, he's big in more ways than one, just physically, personality wise, you know, his promos are good. He's got the whole package right now, man. It's only a matter of time. Happy for Swerve, but this is clearly the guy, I think, long term. And the other thing is, this Saturday with this Collision show, they're going to have, I was going to ask you guys what you would lead off with on Collision, because they're going to have this big audience coming off the playoff game, right? It's the Boston game, right, Justin?
I believe so, yes.
Because they're saying like 4 million viewers probably going to be watching that, and they're going to go right from that to Collision on Saturday, and there's not going to be a post show for the NBA game. It's just like the game's going to end, it's going to go right to Collision. Mm-hmm. So it's probably the best lead-in, almost surely the best lead-in they've ever had without me going back and looking. And if you got 4 million people that just happen to have the TV on, and you got a chance to get some new fans and get their attention, what are you putting out there in the first 10 to 15 minutes of this show? I mean, how are you leading this off? Any ideas?
It's got to be with an Ospreay match or with Swerve.
Yeah.
It's got to be one of those two things.
Well, it has to be Ospreay now. Swerve is wrestling tomorrow night. Huh? Kyle Fletcher.
I hadn't even seen that yet.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I hadn't seen that either.
Swerve, Kyle Fletcher in a world title eliminator, where, of course, if Kyle wins, then he gets the world title shot. Ospreay Jr. It's what we're almost starting to call Kyle Fletcher. That's going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, we're going to dive into Swerve later, but yeah, there's your breaking news.
I would start right away with just an awesome highlight reel of Brian and Ospreay with some good music in the background. I mean, I'd have them welcome to the show, and I'd say, we just had an all-time classic on pay-per-view 6 nights ago. Check this out. Just get people's attention with that highlight reel. Then maybe have an Ospreay match if it's not going to be Swerve. Do an Ospreay match, then do a highlight reel of Swerve winning the title. I would just go bang, bang, bang. But I would start with a highlight reel. For God's sakes, you just had arguably the match of the decade. Show the people. Show 3 to 4 million people that. I mean, if that doesn't hook them, I don't know what else you can do with that kind of a lead-in. So,
Danielson, a little over 20 minutes deep into the match, locks in a pretty solid triangle choke. And oh, by the way, Will just goes, okay, one arm, boom, boom, Styles Clash.
Yeah.
A one-arm Styles Clash. What?
Yes, sir.
The other fact of starting Collision with the highlights is that there's going to be people that know Brian from WWE. So that will get their attention. Who's this new guy? They see the highlights. You see what Ospreay can do. I think you start right away with that. And they're probably going to show some highlights on Dynamite. I don't care. Like, show it again. Get that large viewership and use it to your advantage, I think.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Unreal. We've talked almost a half hour about this match. We could go longer.
Can I throw a few things in there?
Yeah.
Jesse already pointed it out. My favorite moment, possibly, certainly, you know, watching anything live, but that you know, high noon showdown, where, and this is something that Danielson has mostly refused to do, is the yes chance. But you saw him in that corner doing the yes chance, getting ready to for that knee strike, and then Ospreay gets in the other corner, slowly takes off the elbow pad. I have never screamed louder during a match than at that moment. So with some of Will Ospreay's critics, and this is a criticism that I've had too, Jesse already mentioned one is with the selling. I thought he was mostly very exceptional in this one, but also with some of, I think people would point out maybe some unnecessary flipping, where in this one, it felt so well balanced with the way Danielson was attacking him. And it felt like for the early portion of the match that, you know, Danielson was getting the upper hand, that maybe he was the better wrestler and Ospreay was using that stuff to counterattack, and until it eventually kind of turned towards the end. It was just all so phenomenal. And, it, you know, going back to Danielson's, you know, quote unquote injury, I got scared during the middle rope hurricanrana, where that one looked like he landed kind of bad on his head and neck. I was really concerned after that, but he seemed to power through that. And if there was anything weird going on with his shoulder, anything that people have pointed out, I think it was from that. The only flaw in the match for me is that ending or the post-match, because for one, I thought it kind of distracted from the amazing match we've just seen. I thought it was something that they could have just, you know, done something similar or played off of it just on television. And then it just, it was also very distracting going into the ladder match. But I mean, that is just such a minor critique. As far as its place in history, it's a wait and see, especially when we talk about, you know, match of the decade or greatest match in North American history. You know, just looking at the in-ring, it'd be hard to argue against, but I need to see what's going to come of it. Because the first match that would come to my mind would be Bret Hart versus Stone Cold at WrestleMania 13, because that was so vital to Stone Cold's career. Because not only was it just an amazing brawl in a fight and had just a top-notch, if not the greatest, you know, ending of a match ever, it was important going forward. And I hope that whatever's going on with this angle with Danielson, that it plays out in a, you know, in entertaining and long lasting way. And obviously the main thing is that it was the catalyst to solidify Ospreay as the babyface, and God willing, get him as far as away from Don Callis as possible.
One other thing. So, when we did our picks last week, I picked Brian to win the match. And I think you could go either way on this, and it, you know, they're going to play it out probably fine. But we were listening to Observer Radio on the drive home, and Meltzer agreed with me on this and kind of backed up exactly what I said last week, was that if Ospreay had lost, there's more of a story to tell, because Brian can be the one challenging Swerve first. Ospreay then has to overcome Bryan Danielson to, you know, defeat him, then get his world title match, which we're all expecting to happen at Wembley, you know, and that's 4 months away. And now it's like, he just beat Bryan Danielson. He's the most over guy in the company. Like, how long can you keep him away sensibly from the world title? And so, despite Ospreay being super hot, like, it's okay for him to lose. You know, he's not going to lose, especially losing to an all-time legend like that. So, if we want to nitpick, I honestly think Brian winning would have been the right call. Now, we'll see it play out, and it'll probably be fine. But I do think that that would have been a more compelling way to go booking over the next few months, because they might get in a bind here where, like, can you hold off on that match? As this guy is getting the biggest crowd reactions on the show, and he continues to build steam, I think storyline-wise, that would have been preferable. But I mean, I obviously understand why Tony picked him. I mean, Jesus Christ, this guy's over like Rover. So,
yeah. And you know, I agreed with you when you brought that up last week. I agreed with you coming out of the show that I think that might've been the better option, but it is very much, you know, kind of to my previous point, a wait and see, because that is all going to depend on what they have lined up for Swerve.
Yeah,
you know, who his double or nothing opponent is going to be, who his forbidden door opponent is going to be, you know, what is this summer of Swerve going to look like if that's what we get?
Yeah. Do you want to jump in, Jesse?
Do we get Ospreay now tied into a blood and guts scenario here at the end of May? some other kind of avenues to tie him in here. I would love to see a rematch with Shota Umino at Forbidden Door if you want the crossover appeal. That was one of the highest rated matches of last year, which is nuts to say. I think Meltzer almost rated it 6. So let's see it again. I think Shota gets the first shot at Moxley after Moxley defends this title against Powerhouse Hobbs tomorrow night too. So yeah, I mean I think there's plenty to keep Will Ospreay busy over the next handful of months. I know I had mentioned that he's already ran through the Don Callis family in what they call friendly matches already because he's a part of the group. He's going to have to do it again. So be it. But I mean, you can definitely throw some other opponents in there and make it feasible to at least get to All In.
Yeah. Well, there was one other thing that this match was missing before I forget. And that's the fact, we've talked about this before, but Justin, you and I usually are sitting by each other at these pay-per-views. And for this one, you were just one row behind me, a few seats down, so we could see each other. And I looked back at you a few times during this match, and we made some faces at each other of what we were seeing. But if you had been sitting right next to me, Justin, how hard would you have been shaking me during this match?
You'd be wearing a neck brace, my friend. So it was for the best, because, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that? Would I have walked out of the Chaffetz Arena looking like that?
Exactly.
Now, if genetics don't fall far from the tree, Justin, was your kid shaking you?
Nope, he was not. And luckily for him, I'm a good dad, so I wasn't shaking him either.
All right, so we'll just get some general highlights on the rest of the show. Here's one other thing I'll nitpick. And this is just about the event itself. They got to do something about merchandise, man. Because I went in there, wanted to buy stuff for my kid, and I was all ready to spend some money. And I know other people have talked about AEW's merch stands at shows, and the pay-per-views I've been to have usually been way better than the TVs I've been to. And they'll have, like, you know, the merch for some of the top acts, the show merchandise. You guys will be stunned to know they did not have a single piece of merchandise as far as t-shirts go for any wrestler on the roster. There was not a single shirt for a wrestler at the merch stand. Is that like unbelievable? It was all Dynasty shirts. And that was it. Like, how do you not have a t-shirt for a single Swerve, who's going to be winning the world title, Ospreay, who's so over? Not a single piece of merchandise for any wrestler in the company. That was unreal to me. You know, they had the pay-per-view shirts. They had like the figures, the belts. They had a scarf, some hats, and then like little novelties like cards and stuff like that. But no t-shirts for any wrestlers. I mean, they have far outgrown pro wrestling tees. I'm sorry. They got to do something different, man, because they are leaving so much money on the table. Can you imagine how many like Ospreay and Swerve shirts they would have sold, Justin?
Yeah.
It's not there. Not there at all. That was mind-blowing to me.
Blackpool Combat Club. I'm just thinking out loud here. For your daughter, a Mercedes Moné. I haven't seen a thing from her, and she debuted a month ago. Yeah. That new Elite shirt, by the way, with, I believe it's the Young Bucks and Okada with their first initials, that is a sweet-ass shirt. I would consider getting that. Now, why wasn't this shirt in attendance either, by the way, folks?
Yeah, that Joe shirt's awesome.
I had to buy it just because of the look. I mean, and he's your world champion. He's supposed to be at least the face of your company for a few months.
Yeah. The only non-pay-per-view merchandise they had as far as clothing goes was they had an AEW logo sweatshirt. That was it. Wild. I don't get it at all.
Is that what Justin's wearing right now?
No, it wasn't that one. It was a little bit different. But yeah, that was the only piece of non-pay-per-view merchandise. Anyways, just wanted to throw that out there before I forgot. The rest of the show, God, we've already gone 43 minutes.
Some just big, we're going to have to bust through the rest.
Yeah, some highlights. We've already talked about the issues with the ladder match following Ospreay and Danielson. I mean, overall, it was a very good match. I thought that Cash did a lot of high spots in that match, and he worked real, real hard throughout. And loved the Jack Perry appearance at the end. Crowd popped big for him. He got a lot of cheers right away. Some boos, but a lot of cheers. And I think we were all kind of expecting that. You know, we talked about it on the preview show, I believe. good to see him make his return. We'll see how this character is. I hope it's better than his last heel run. I think it will be. I think he's grown a little bit since then. He's had some practice at this now with in New Japan. Wishing him the best at using this situation to further his career. Look, they got that scapegoat t-shirt out using the shattered glass. Brilliant. Got to give it to him. You know, talking about merchandise, good design there. I like that.
I thought that was really well executed too, because it was very similar. It was reminding me of Roman Cody, the main event from WrestleMania. Cause like, which I like that main event, but part of the problem of the first time I saw it when it happened was I'm waiting for The Rock, because I know nothing's going to happen until The Rock comes out. Yeah. And I was fairly certain that Jack Perry was going to be making his presence felt during this ladder match. And so it was kind of the same thing. It's like, well, nothing's going to happen until Jack Perry comes out. And even when he came out in the mask, I was like, oh, that's got to be Jack. But then like with the security attacking him, there was that split second. I was like, oh shit, maybe that was a fan. But the way that the security, you know, took the hood off, took the mask off, and that shit eating grin he had on his face, all of that was just so well done. I was pleasantly surprised by the positive reception that he got. And also just for the match itself, how over the Bucks were. It was a very pro Bucks crowd.
Very physical as well, with FTR playing into the Young Bucks high flying stuff a little bit, Cash pulling moonsaults off of ladders. You got a little bit of blood going on. And I think the highlight for me, hands down, was Justin Joint calling the end, except for the GTS. You wanted the GTS from Jack Perry. If you had gotten that, that would have been the single greatest prognostication in the history of professional wrestling.
How about the Power and Glory spot off the ladders too? Freaking awesome.
Amazing. Stuff. I mean, that's the other thing about this card is there's really no results that are questionable. Everything is pretty sound.
Yeah.
You know, same with this one, the right team won. This should be the Bucks, and that's coming from, you know, a big FTR fan. But yeah, man, it was excellent. As already pointed out, took a while for the crowd to get back into it, but man, did they ever. Fantastic match.
We get highly annoyed with table spots, and yet I felt they were warranted in this match. I thought that the usage of all of the weapons on the outside were tastefully done. There wasn't anything that was overdrawn.
Because I don't think we're going to have any deep thoughts on this match. So as a transition with Justin saying that all the right people won, I got to admit, unfortunately, Chris Jericho winning was the right call in that match. And as much as we pan Chris Jericho, and I still do believe that he could benefit from a big break, his character is working for him right now. It is. It's entertaining him doing like the heel thing, but like the way he's, you know, doing those promos and being very sarcastic and acting like he means what he says when he's clearly egging on the crowd. He's found another gimmick that works. Yes.
Your chance. Go ahead, Justin.
I was just going to say, I'm kind of, me and Ryan have not actually discussed this. I'm stunned to hear that from you, because I thought my embarrassing takeaway for this show was going to be that I actually was pretty sports entertained during that match.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was kind of cringing at some of the crowd chants during that match. And I do think it'd benefit Chris to go away for a while. Yes. I mean, you know, God bless him for, you know, being able to stay so healthy during this AEW run, but you know, he either needs to go away or just solidify himself in the mid card.
Is Hook getting ready to leave?
I haven't heard anything on that. I mean, I think we talked about in the preview, I mean, he's lost a lot. Not like literally losing matches, but he's lost a lot of steam in the last couple of years and just kind of feels like another guy right now.
I think it would be a bad idea on his part, because I think it would be kind of the same thing with Jade Cargill going to WWE, where they will get over there and they, the, you know, the other company are going to realize is like, oh, they're still pretty green in this ring and maybe not ready for full-time exposure. But the difference is that, you know, Jade looks like a star. You know, Jade is so much bigger than all the other women that, you know, and meanwhile, Hook looks like a little boy in the ring against most of his opponents.
Well, Justin, they might put some nice caps on his teeth. And, you know, they like to do that with guys who are from famous lineage, a big, bright white smile like Lexus King. They'd want to make sure, you know, that he gets away from that Taz heritage, though.
Anyways, a certain guy who had more than 1,300 days also has some pretty sweet veneers.
Yeah, it's true. That is true. All right, real quick, let's talk about the rest of the card. Well, let's go to Swerve right now.
Yeah.
You know, he had the special entrance. Felt like a big-time entrance for a championship match. I noticed, and I told Justin about this as we were leaving, that I saw Powerhouse Hobbs walk out, and he was kind of over, like, in the production area, but he made it a point to come out to watch Swerve for a little while. He watched his entrance and a little bit of the match, and then he went to the back, but it was like he wanted to take it all in person. It is just, in general, a big moment for African-American wrestlers to have that first world champion. It's a big, big moment for the company as well. And yeah, it felt like a big time match right from the start. And the match itself was phenomenal. I thought everything, for the most part, was what they needed to do. I think this was clearly the right decision. As we talked about on the preview show, you know, when he celebrated, it was pretty emotional. Like, there's people that are very emotional watching that. The way he walked around the crowd, like, you know, got the moments with the guys in the front row and everything, took his time, was great. Justin, you had some comments on the finish, I remember, that we were talking about on the way back.
I got to rewatch it, but in the moment, it sure felt like when Joe was up on that turnbuckle and what Swerve eventually did was kind of like jump over him. And then, you know, he went back and hit him with the power bomb, went back up for the stomp. It sure looked like and felt in the moment that what they were going for was that Swerve was going to stomp Joe while he was standing from that, you know, second turnbuckle, which would have been an absolutely incredible spot and a very memorable finish. You know, maybe it just in there was a split second where it didn't fall. You know, feel safe. So they just called a quick audible, but possibly a missed opportunity. And really the only thing I would nitpick on this match, it was in kind of a tough position following, you know, the ladder match, which, you know, spot fest. And then obviously the all-time classic that we've been talking about. But even considering that, I mean, it was just an awesome match. There's just nobody that moves in a ring like Samoa Joe with more menace and physicality. I just don't know what else to say.
Yeah. And the crowd was totally back with it. Like we mentioned, I saw some tweets that were like bashing the crowd when I browsed later that night. I was like, what? I thought it probably came across on TV. This crowd was hot as hell through almost all the night, except for that first bit of the ladder match. And that always happens after a match that's a match of the year contender. But by the time the main event started, it was loud as hell in there. Again, everybody was amped up for this one. Jesse?
It was the shortest match of the last three. It was just under 18. I think it was 17:59, where it was 21 and a half for the tag, and then 32, almost 33 for Ospreay and Danielson. Justin, I think you were right, by the way. They were going for that crazy stomp, and they had to go reset. Swerve was in near tears as he was about to hit that stomp and get the three count, even it's like before it even happened. So,
interesting. Yeah. I didn't see that, but it did feel like he hesitated for longer than what was necessary when he was up there.
Makes sense now. Yeah.
He took his sweet time up there. And again, part of it was just like, I can't believe this is actually going to happen. The celebration and then the scrum afterwards with a lot of the questions that were being asked, like how does this feel? And it brought him back to even Kofi in 2019 amongst other people. So he just says that now people of my representation can look at me and maybe they can take this further along here in the next couple of decades.
You know, even just beyond the color of his skin is the journey that he's had in professional wrestling. Basically, you know, being an indie stalwart for so long, you know, he had the cup of coffee in Lucha Underground. You know, he was given, you know, an opportunity in WWE and let go, found himself back in AEW and just kind of worked his way back up the ladder. And it never felt like they were legit pushing him to be a world champion. He kind of created that himself with the help of Hangman Page.
Yeah.
I watched him at the NXT War Games 2019 pre-show wrestle Santos Escobar and as Isaiah Swerve Scott, and they damn near stole the show there. You knew that they both had something special, but just Swerve just has always had that something. It's, and Will Washington, obviously being a blood relative, just says it's the charisma. People can just tell. He exudes it the moment, not only when he steps out, but with his music. And I know on the indies, it was just more of a dance feel. And now I think with the song and Prince Nana now being the dancing persona in the bit, he'll just walk right out there just superimposed with the coat and just looking like a true leader. It's just a wonderful presentation all around.
There were people blasting his theme in the parking garage afterwards. it was awesome. Yeah, I mean, you know, the bad faith actors on social media, they're always talking and laying in like the AEW haters about, oh, how look, ha ha ha, how they let Punk get away. Oh yeah, he's had such a big run with WWE, hasn't he, since he got away. How could they let Punk get away and Jade get away and Cody? No one ever talks about WWE had Swerve. And they did jack shit with him. He's one of the most charismatic guys in the entire industry. And they let
Samoa
him get away.
Joe.
They let Samoa Joe. I mean, yeah, there's a list of the other direction too.
Tony Storm is also a big one. Now she's women's champion. I think they did right by her until she got to the regular NXT. But yeah. Though the three big ones are Joe, Swerve, Tony Storm.
And then obviously whiffed on Ospreay too. Obviously that one bothers him a little bit,
which I did like in the scrum where somebody asked him about, you know, his comments going back to Triple H, and he's like, it really seemed like he regretted ever really bringing that up. So bravo to him. Ospreay, that is, not Triple H. That was kind of dirty of him.
I don't think Paul would ever say he regrets something like that.
Keep it in scrums and interviews and not on national television.
Yeah. All right. Let's just go rapid fire thoughts on the rest of the match. And we just go person to person. I'm just going to like look down the matches and the ones I haven't commented on and just give you a brief thoughts on all of them. And then I'll throw it to you guys and do the same thing. How's that sound?
Do it.
So, all right. Pre-show wise, the only one that I really had deep thoughts on is the six man. I'm glad they unified the title. I hope they keep the six man and the trios unified. I don't think we need AEW trios champions anymore. I think the right team went over. Bullet Club was the correct decision. Max Caster's rap really pushed the limits, I thought, on this one. Max has lost a lot. We talked about this on the preview, but he's really fallen off for me of late. Still like the Acclaimed overall, but yeah, this was the right decision. Bullet Club Gold winning. Okada was phenomenal in the opening match with Pac. Another outstanding match. Loved when he flipped off the crowd when he would usually do the pose. And man, when he sort of kind of looked around to each side, flipping them off, that crowd just lost it. He got so much heel heat. Great match there. The trios match with House of Black and Copeland and Eddie and Briscoe, I didn't see much of that. I had to go out to the concourse with my daughter, so that's when I got to watch on tape. Willow and Julia Hart. Julia is injured more so than I knew last week when we did the picks. I mean, I talked about how she was injured, but she was going to be able to work the match, but she clearly was working a little bit safe here. Willow winning, right call. The face-off with Mercedes. Mercedes has to be heel here. I mean, just the way she came out and she was, you know, stealing the spotlight. As I said on the preview show, looks like she's going after the TBS title. I mean, they're clearly going to do that match and she's going to be in that picture.
I really hope all of this is intentional, that they kind of know that the best Mercedes is heel Mercedes. And maybe yes. that's why they're, you know, keeping her, you know, off of television quite a bit, not having her wrestle. I know I've heard that it could be, she's still injured. But the best use of her is to come in as a heel, you know, maybe beat Willow. And then eventually, once the crowd really gets back behind her again, to go back to babyface.
My question to you guys, because you were in attendance, how brutal was the CEO in person?
I don't like it personally.
There were some people chanting it. As far as the music goes, it just doesn't stand out very much, I didn't think. I've seen some people on social media complaining, like, oh, they paid all this money for Mercedes and they're gonna make her heel. What? It's like, if you watch your career, she's way, way better as a heel. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's definitely the direction to go.
Same with Okada.
Roddy Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, regretfully. Ooh. I also missed most of this because I had to go out in the concourse for a bathroom break with my daughter. That's one I gotta go back and watch.
That was dare I say a humper. That match humped.
Jericho and Hook, we already talked about that. And then with Tony Storm and Thunder Rosa, excellent match. One of Tony's best matches in AEW, probably. I mean, relied way less on the character and more just wrestling, I thought. And I mean, I expected her to win. And I thought it was a really good match. Like I said, it stood out as far as her AEW run goes. Thunder Rosa looked really good in the match, too. And good stuff. You guys, rapid fire on any of those matches. Let's go to Jesse first.
Okada Pack, I had a question asked to me. Was that the best opening match in a pay-per-view of AEW history? No, I'm still going Darby MJF.
Oh, wow, really?
That was the one that came to my mind when people were talking about
still,
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could be biased because I was in attendance for it. I just remember how absurdly loud that crowd was during that match. Mm-hmm. And while I was invested, I was about 3/4 invested because I was looking at my son. This was the only match that he was able to watch before I put him to sleep. And I could tell, like, he was kind of really getting, he was getting into Pack. He was getting into Pack and like a lot of the athleticism he was displaying, but Okada's facials, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mean, seriously, in any other promotion, you'd be going, okay, give this guy the world title here in the next 6 months. We'll call it good. Everybody's crowning Ospreay now. It's like, is Okada ever going to see that world title in the next 2 to 3 years? With the lineage, guess because Swerve could come back and get it. We could even, I don't know, because Wrestle Dreams in Seattle again this year. Is that right?
Tacoma.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Mm-hmm. At the Tacoma Dome.
Yeah.
Swerve could be champion there. That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, no, that Okada Pack match was very good. It was a very good match. I'm still putting Darby and MJF ahead of it.
I think that the thing, and I saw both of them live, the thing that Darby and MJF had was, I think, some uncertainty as to who would win. Where, you know, Pac and Okada, there was just no way that Pac was going to win. I think in-ring, Okada Pac all day long. I thought that was an incredible match. I love Pac. He is so fucking good, man. I wish he had, you know, more TV time.
That's a testament to him, though, too, is it was probably the most obvious result on the show that he was not mm-hmm. going to beat Okada, yet the crowd was super into everything, and they still bid on some of the near falls. And so even with the result never in question, he still had the crowd in the palm of their hands. Phenomenal match.
One of the best sellers in the company, and there are a lot of excellent sellers. And he, the Rainmaker especially, just the nice twist. He didn't overdo it. Outstanding finish.
Even just beyond his selling, is his offense is so believable in everything he does. Just, he has such a natural way of moving and striking in the ring. And, like, you know, I know he's known for this high flyer, but his ground game is just as good. I mean, I just, can't say enough good things about Pac. He's phenomenal.
Great strikes submission game with that brutalizer, which I know he was using that after he would hit the Falcon Arrow. Yeah, he just hopefully he stays over here in America for a few years, please. Like without going back and just all of a sudden just deciding he wants to disappear and go back to the weight room. It doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah, exactly.
And obviously Okada hasn't been in AEW for very long, but that was easily, the most that he's come off as a heel, which is a lot of Okada, but it's also a lot of Pac too. Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think outside of that, I would say the Tony Storm Thunder Rosa match. Yes, I really enjoy that as well. You got the little bit of Mariah May, of course, being taken out by Deonna Purrazzo, them going to the back, and then Tony, which I alluded to in the beginning, her 2.5 minute spiel backstage with the press scrum, and they asked her the question, Mariah May is the number 4 contender. What's going to happen if she gets promoted to number 1? And she stormed off the stage.
Oh, interesting.
So I think that's coming. Yeah, that was one of the better women's title matches I've seen. I think the only one I would rank a little, there are two I would rank ahead of it, would be Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa at the St. Patrick's Day special in the cage, and then Tony Storm, Jamie Hayter at Full Gear 22.
Unfortunately for me, that's one I have to go back and not rewatch, but watch, because looking at the card, and knowing that my kid had not peed for a long time, I was like, oh, there's a good chance that Danielson Ospreay is going to be next. We got to go. We got to try and see if I can get some liquid out of you, because I know you're just going to ask during the matches that I do not want to miss. But we made it happen. It worked out. Although I missed that match and I need to go back and watch it.
I think when it comes to the structure of the matches on pay-per-view as well, they're starting to follow the New Japan model, where they're putting the last 3 to 4 matches that everybody's invested in back to back to back to back. That started at All Out 23 where we were at. And I kind of want them to do away with it and throw one scrub match in there, like you mentioned earlier, Ryan. Like yes. Hook and Jericho would have been perfect after Danielson and Ospreay.
Mm-hmm. I think you still need a cool down match. Could be a bit much for the crowd, at least.
Can I just do a couple quick hits from the stuff you already covered?
Yes.
It sure seems like we are heading towards a Malachi Black versus Adam Copeland at Double or Nothing, which I find very interesting. That entire second half of that match I thought was exceptional, with Adam Copeland eventually eating the mist and the pin from Malachi Black. I'm fascinated to see how that turns out. And then also, Wardlow coming out for seemingly no reason, not really helping Roderick Strong win, and something I did not, see live, but apparently he was getting the side eyes from Adam Cole, who came out and stood up, because, the last report I had heard is that they did not want him traveling because it was not helping in his rehab, but there he was standing up. And boy, I got to think that, is there a chance Double or Nothing MJF versus Adam Cole?
Well, he has been rehabbing and not traveling, so apparently it's helped.
Oh, there we go.
We haven't seen him for a while. Yeah. Now, just standing doesn't mean he can wrestle, but I mean, that was nice to see.
That's the second match I need to rewatch, obviously with Danielson and Ospreay, but Roddy and O'Reilly. I remember just watching the first 10 minutes and I'm going, this is really good. And the crowd's not quite where it should be. And then the last 5 to 6 minutes or so, it seemed like they really got the attention. It's good to see Kyle O'Reilly coming back from almost 2 years gone and a month and a half worth of in-ring work, almost back to where he was in 2021 and 22.
Yeah, he looked good. My criticism for that match, which I enjoyed, is that losing clean to Roderick Strong when he had somebody out there that could have distracted, him or something. That's a little odd for Kyle O'Reilly just coming back, but great match irregardless.
Yeah.
All right. Any other thoughts, guys, before we wrap on Dynasty?
I never gave it my grade.
I thought we all agreed it was an A at the beginning. No?
I think I would go A plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
I usually do plus or minus, but I mean, I could be right there with you. Yeah.
That's also the live viewing too.
Such a different
perspective than what I had it at home.
Jesse, did you order this on BR or did you use Triller like they're on now?
Which also reminds me, Triller/Fight TV. It happened again, by the way, which I sent you the screenshot.
Oh, I did see that. You won the contest. You got it free, didn't you?
WrestleZone on Twitter/X.com. I figured, you know what? I've been dropping $50 almost every single month for the last couple of years. Can I get a freebie in here, please? I remember the last time that happened. All Out 21. Hey. Thank you guys very much.
How we met.
So to get two all-timers for free, incredible. So I guess from now on, whenever I get a free one from someone else, I'm going to guarantee that it's going to be an A-level show and something extremely memorable is going to happen. So Triller, which, by the way, zero lagging. Great experience.
So here's the thing. I know a lot of people have. I've never had any issues with lag, really, on BR that I remember. It usually plays fine for me. My biggest problem with BR is that the on-demand is terrible, and it takes forever to fast forward to get to a match. Is that better on Triller?
Way better. Because like I said, I went straight to the Young Bucks FTR late yesterday morning and no issues. There was no freezing like 2-3 seconds behind like BR is when it comes to the viewing. Triller/Fight TV, in my humble opinion, is the way to go from a United States buying standpoint. All right.
Good to know.
Good to know. Yeah.
Very nice. All right, guys. Well, that was Dynasty. We had a hell of a time there. And we appreciate you guys tuning in as always. If you're watching on YouTube right now, please hit subscribe, give us a thumbs up on this video. It helps us out a lot. If you are on the podcasting platforms, please subscribe, rate, and review. We would very much appreciate that. Guys, we have a Facebook group with a lot of great people in there talking pro wrestling. Search Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion on Facebook and join in on those daily discussions. And like I said at the top, go ahead and join the Patreon page for bonus content. It's patreon.com/Top Rope Nation. That is the number one way to support what we are doing and to ensure that the podcast continues into the future. We will not be live this Thursday night. This is this week's flagship coming at you 2 days early because we are all going to be watching this year's NFL draft and enjoying every single minute of it. So we will be back next week with the next edition of the flagship. The Patreon feed might be updated before then with a bonus show. We'll see what happens, or some kind of bonus content. So you can look for that if you are a patron. Anything else, boys?
Just, you know, let strangers know when you fart. Just tell them. It's okay.
Follow Justin's kid's lead. It's all right. He's onto something. All right, everybody. This has been episode 340 of Top Rope Nation. We'll see you all next time. Have a great week. And go Bears.
Whose title?